Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus. We have been thinking together in a long series of messages about the subject, what is a spiritual home? What is a God-pleasing, God-honoring home? And how can we have such a home? There are many aspects to this. I've written a manuscript on this subject, and it's a long manuscript, and there are many aspects to this. I've only had time to consider several of these. I want to especially deal with two, and then perhaps there will be a third one we can deal with a little bit later. First of all, we took a series of messages on the subject, what do husbands and wives have a right to expect of each other? As we look at each other's lives as a husband and a wife, what do we have the right to expect in the other one? I emphasize that this is a mutual thing. Of course, both of them are expected to have these spiritual qualities in their lives. We took 10 different qualities, and we discussed these qualities very carefully, what husbands and wives have a right to expect of each other. I also emphasized that future husbands and wives, even before they are married, have a right to expect certain things in the one they're going to marry. And if these things are not present, and perhaps will never be present in the life of the one you're planning to marry, even though they might be present in your life, it would give you reason to doubt whether or not that one is the one God wants you to marry. And then we turned to the subject of what children have a right to expect from their parents. What kind of qualities should we parents exhibit in our lives that our children would respect and honor, and that our children themselves would want to follow? Now, this seems unreasonable for children to make demands on their own parents. But God makes demands upon us. If we're going to be God-fearing, God-honoring parents, then we in our own lives are to have certain qualities in our lives. And we have discussed a number of these. And the quality that I want to speak of today is a quality of giving spiritual guidance. In other words, being the kind of a parent who is able to spiritually guide the children. I want us to turn in our Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 4 and Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them to thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, Gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. Now, this passage has to do with guidance. Again, in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 to 3, Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. I want to stop a reading right here. Now, these passages are speaking of the kind of guidance we give to our children. First of all, of course, Moses was speaking by the word of God to the people of Israel. But then he was commanding them that these things were to be taught to their sons and to their sons' sons, in other words, to their grandchildren. And in both of these passages, these truths are emphasized. I have pointed out before that even though we're not under the Old Testament law of Moses with its hundreds of little regulations, nevertheless, we are still under the principles of the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, there are many principles laid down which teach us the way we are to conduct ourselves as parents. We have a great responsibility. Now, in the thing that we're discussing today, this matter of spiritual guidance of our children, we have a great, tremendous responsibility. And I want to speak of this responsibility for a few moments. First of all, Our children need guidance in every aspect of their lives. Sometimes we expect the children to exercise their own wisdom. I don't think there's anything wrong with this. When a child has been taught, the child should be trusted to go ahead and do what he's been taught. In other words, to take wisdom from God, to know how to apply the teachings that we have given them. But on the larger scale, the child from the very earliest days of that child's life needs guidance in his life. He needs guidance even at a very young age, the age of 2 or 3 or 4 or 5, an age even before they might go to school. This child needs guidance. If a child is not guided by the parents in spiritual ways, this child will grow up without the guidance and living a life which has no direction whatsoever. Many times when you see a rebellious teenager, now I don't want to blame parents altogether for the rebellion of their teenagers. Teenagers can rebel even under the most spiritual teaching, even under the guidance of God, when God has guided the parents in teaching them and all. And when the parents have sought to guide the children, children can still rebel. But many times, teenage rebellion has come because this child has never been guided by his parents. It's not just a matter of teaching them the principles, but it's to give them strong, firm guidance in their lives. We parents, of course, have to have wisdom in this. There comes a time when we give them less and less advice, and we give them more and more opportunity and freedom to follow the advice they have been given. In other words, we give them the responsibility to do these things themselves. But in the early years, at every stage of their lives, in every matter which occurs in their lives, we are giving them guidance. We are directing them, in other words. We're pointing them in the right direction. We are keeping them in the right direction. Now, the child needs this, and the child has a right to expect this from the parent. First of all, the child needs to know guidance and needs to have guidance in facing the problems of life. Even in the very earliest ages of a child, the child is facing problems in life. There will be playmates who won't treat that child properly. There will be people who will speak against that child. This child may feel inferior to other children. The parent may not have the money to buy the clothes that this child feels the child needs. Other children criticize him because his clothes are perhaps a bit shabbier than theirs. They're not as new as theirs. They're not as up-to-date as theirs. Children can be very cruel. And this child is going to face problems throughout his life. He may have academic problems. Not every child is gifted with a brilliant mind. Certainly, we rejoice when a child does have a very keen mind. But many children may be very ordinary in their studies. This is nothing wrong with them. But a child may be criticized because he doesn't reach the standard that other children are able to reach. We do expect, of course, and this is part of guidance, that a child will apply himself with all his heart. When a child has ability, but he's lazy in applying himself, this child is going to need firm and strong discipline so that this child will apply himself or herself. But suppose now that a child has this problem of constantly being compared with others. We parents sometimes make this mistake. This becomes a problem in the child's life. The child is not being praised as the older brother is. The older brother is able to do more, has greater gifts and greater abilities. So that child is praised and uplifted, but the other child is not. So these things become problems. So the children need guidance in facing the problems of life. And this guidance needs to be a constant thing with them. It requires parents who are spiritually concerned for their children, parents who really deeply care about these children and the problems they face. And so we give guidance to the child, helping the child to understand the solution to these problems, the resolution of the problems, in other words, whether it's with other children, whether it's in school, or whatever it might be. The child is helped with the problems. And of course, as they get into the teenage years, the problems will increase. And so we're going to have a hands-on experience with this child. This child also needs guidance in outside things, outside activities, outside amusements, and some of these other things the child is going to face in life. We cannot always protect this child from the outside world, because the child lives in this world. He may have a job as a teenager in a McDonald's restaurant or someplace like that. And in this restaurant, he's going to be faced with what the world is all about. And so we're giving this child guidance in the problems of the outside world, how to decide what amusements he can go to and which amusements would be bad for him. We're teaching this child the principles he will follow in his life. We're constantly making this child accountable to us so that we know what's happening outside and we're able to guide the child. The child needs guidance in the decisions he's making. In life, we make many, many, many decisions. And in the early ages, this child is making decisions. He's going to make decisions in the early years of his life concerning the kind of friends he will have, the kind of activities in which he will participate, the kind of responsibilities he's going to have to bear in life. Even as a child, he will be given certain responsibilities. And so there is guidance in the decisions he's making. And we want to be sure that this child knows how to make decisions. We're guiding him in this. Then we want to make sure the child is making the right decisions. In other words, the child is corrected and guided in a different direction when he seems to be making the wrong decisions. And so these decisions will begin in the earliest years. As a child is a teenager, especially in his mid-teens, he gets 15, 16, 17 years of age. Now this child will need guidance in such matters as schooling. He'll need guidance someday in the future life partner he's going to have. He's going to need guidance concerning his calling in life. Our children are making these kinds of decisions in their mid-teens. My wife and I have a number of children, grandchildren of ours, who are in their mid-teens. And we pray for these children constantly. Sometimes they will come to us for advice. Sometimes our own children come to us for advice. Those who are married already, those who've been out of the home for many years, they'll come to us for advice. But our grandchildren also need advice. So they'll come to us for guidance. They'll come to their parents. What does God want me to do? How can I know God's will in my life? And so many other questions they face about their future life. And so throughout their lives, we are giving children the guidance they need. I want to emphasize in closing, our guidance, of course, is based upon Scripture teaching. The Bible has very clear teaching in every area I have mentioned, in every area of life, whether it's problems, whether it's decisions, whether it's their future, whatever it might be. The Bible gives us guidance, and so we use the guidance of the Scriptures to share with our children. We don't simply give them worldly advice. Many times parents use worldly advice. They've heard some clever saying, some clever teaching from some worldly psychologist or psychiatrist perhaps, or some worldly writer, and so they're quoting this to their children. The children need to know that their guidance comes from the Lord Himself. And it's given by the Lord through the parents to the child. And so this is another way we meet the needs of the child. My prayer is that you might be one who has the time, who has the intention, who has the passion to give guidance to your children so that they walk and live in the right direction and so they will not stray from the teaching of the Word of God. May the Lord bless you, each one.